deems himself immensely wealthy, and the jilted girl pictures herself in the bliss of tender love. The above passage from Radistock, an abstract of a keen discussion of Griesinger, page 111, reveals with the greatest clearness the wish fulfillment as a characteristic of the imagination common to the dream and the psychosis. My own investigations have taught me that here the key to a psychological theory of the dream and of the psychosis is to be found. Absurd combinations of ideas and weakness of judgment are the main characteristics of the dream and of insanity. The overestimation of one's own mental capacity, which appears absurd to sober judgment, is found alike both in one and the other, and the rapid course of ideas in the dream corresponds to the flight of ideas in the psychosis. Both are devoid of any measure of time. The dissociation of personality in the dream, which, for instance, distributes one's own knowledge between two persons, one of whom, the strange one, corrects in the dream one's own ego, fully corresponds to the well-known splitting of personality in hallucinatory paranoia. The dreamer, too, hears his own thoughts expressed by strange voices. Even the constant delusions find their analogy in the stereotyped recurring pathological dreams, rêve obsédant. After recovering from a delirium, patients not infrequently declare that the disease appeared to them like an uncomfortable dream. Indeed, they inform us that occasionally, even during the course of their sickness, they have felt that they were only dreaming, just as it frequently happens in the sleeping dream. Considering all this, it is not surprising that Radistock condenses his own opinion, and that of many others, into the following. Insanity, an abnormal phenomenon of disease, is to be regarded as an enhancement of the periodically recurring normal dream states. Page 228. Krauss attempted to base the relationship between the dream and insanity upon the etiology, or rather upon the exciting sources, perhaps making the relationship even more intimate than was possible through the analogy of the phenomena they manifest. According to him, the fundamental element common to both is, as we have learned, the organically determined sensation, the sensation of physical stimuli, the general feeling produced by contributions from all the organs. Cf. Pese, cited by Mori, page 60. The incontestable agreement between the dream and mental disturbance, extending into characteristic details, constitutes one of the strongest supports of the medical theory of dream life, according to which the dream is represented as a useless and disturbing process and as the expression of a reduced psychic activity. One cannot expect, however, to derive the final explanation of the dream from the mental disturbances, as it is generally known in what unsatisfactory state our understanding of the origin of the latter remains. It is very probably, however, that a modified conception of the dream must also influence our views in regard to the inner mechanism of mental disturbances, and hence we may say that we are engaged in the elucidation of the psychosis when we endeavour to clear up the mystery of the dream. I shall have to justify myself for not extending my summary of the literature of the dream problems over the period between the first appearance of this book and its second edition. If this justification may not seem very satisfactory to the reader, I was nevertheless influenced by it. The motives which mainly induced me to summarize the treatment of the dream in the literature have been exhausted with the foregoing introduction. To have continued with this work would have cost me extraordinary effort and would have afforded little advantage or knowledge. For the period of 9 years referred to has yielded nothing new or valuable either for the conception of the dream in actual material or in points of view. In most of the publications that have since appeared, my work has remained unmentioned and unregarded. Naturally, least attention has been bestowed upon it by the so-called investigators of dreams, who have thus afforded a splendid example of the aversion characteristic of scientific men to learning something new. Les savants ne sont pas curieux, said the scoffer Anatole France. If there were such a thing in science as right to revenge, I, in turn, should be justified in ignoring the literature since the appearance of this book. The few accounts that have appeared in scientific journals are so full of folly and misconception that my only possible answer to my critics would be to request them to read this book over again. Perhaps also the request should be that they read it as a whole. In the works of those physicians who make use of the psychoanalytic method of treatment, Jung, Abraham, Ricklin, Muttmann, Stekel, Rank, and others, an abundance of dreams have been reported and interpreted in accordance with my instructions. Insofar as these works go beyond the confirmation of my assertions, I have noted their results in the context of my discussion. A supplement to the literary index at the end of this book brings together the most important of these new publications. The voluminous book on the dream by Sante de Sanctis, of which a German translation appeared soon after its publication, has, so to speak, crossed with mine, so that I could take as little notice of him as the Italian author could of me. Unfortunately, I am further obliged to declare that this laborious work is exceedingly poor in ideas, so poor that one could never divine from it the existence of the problems treated by me. I have finally to mention two publications which show a near relation to my treatment of the dream problems. A younger philosopher, H. Svoboda, who has undertaken to extend W. Fliess's discovery of biological periodicity in groups of 23 and 28 days to the psychic field, has produced an imaginative work, in which, among other things, he has used this key to solve the riddle of the dream. The interpretation of dreams would herein have fared badly. The material contained in dreams would be explained through the coincidence of all those memories which during the night complete one of the biological periods for the first or the nth time. A personal statement from the author led me to assume that he himself no longer wished to advocate this theory earnestly, but it seems I was mistaken in this conclusion. I shall report in another place some observations in reference to Svoboda's assertion concerning the conclusions of which I am, however, not convinced. It gave me far greater pleasure to find accidentally, in an unexpected place, a conception of the dream in essentials fully agreeing with my own. The circumstances of time preclude the possibility that this conception was influenced by reading of my book. I must therefore greet this as the only demonstrable concurrence in the literature with the essence of my dream theory. The book which contains the passage concerning the dream which I have in mind was published as a second edition in 1900 by Linkus under the title Fantasien eines Realisten.